Good morning. It's 8:37. It's FLH Morning Tuesday, and it's a Tuesday. That means it's time to get healthy with UR Medicine, Finger Lakes Health, and that means Laura Turbide is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
So I ask you first about any news or notes or events or bugs going around or anything in the system.
Sure. Well, you know, we're still coming off of that respiratory season, so we're still seeing some of that for sure. But other news and notes, two important things. March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. I know we've talked about it a little bit more and more frequently, but truthfully, we're seeing people at younger ages being diagnosed with colorectal cancer. And it's one of those things where it's preventable. The gold standard of care is not only diagnostics, but it's actually therapeutic. So what I'm out here stumping, as always, is get a colonoscopy. Once you're age 45 and up is now the U.S. Preventive Task Force recommends age 45 and up. And what we are finding is part of it's our diets. I'm guilty of it too, right? Our change in diets, all these things have led to people being diagnosed and unfortunately having earlier colorectal cancer. So I'm just out here to say, give us a call. 787-5310 is our Finger Lakes Gastroenterology office. We were on recently talking about it. We were in a new expanded office on 5 and 20. So not only have we expanded the team there, the team of physicians and advanced practice providers, but we also have expanded the space. So give us a call. Get in. There is just no... I hear some people and they say, oh, but I know people in this town and I'm going to call someone. Guess what? So do I. I work right here. And I go right to the same doctor I see at a meeting. And you know what? It's because it's important. Do it for yourself. Do it for the people who love you. And just call. And if you can't get, you know, if March is busy because it's March and it's busy for everyone for this, book a little bit out. Just get it booked and get it done. So that's what I'm here to say. And Also, it's March. And in March is Doctor's Day. We celebrate Doctor's Day on March 30th. So I'm really, really thrilled today that we have a guest who's new to us on the program, new to us in the community, and she's one of our new doctors who is a primary care physician here with us who practices family medicine.
So. And she had her own commercial a moment ago on WGVA that I didn't plan that at all. It just happened that way.
It was perfect timing. So we are saying she's famous now when she's still giving us a moment of her time.
Totally famous.
So this is Dr. Jennifer Mungari, and Dr. Mungari is with us at Geneva Primary Care at 200 North Street in Geneva, right at the front entrance, immediate right of the medical office building, right on our campus. And I'm just thrilled we'll talk a little bit about her journey, but she has a great path in terms of what brought her to medicine. Obviously, she's a family medicine physician. She's seeing primarily like 18 and up at this point.
So far.
Okay. Right. But she could see all ages, and we'll talk a little bit. We'll let her talk about her training. But she did some training in Ohio for residency. She trained at SUNY Upstate. She has roots in Upstate New York. Mm-hmm. So I'll let her. I won't steal her thunder. I'll let her tell a little bit about her path. We're thrilled she's with us.
Before we do that, I just want to give the other locations where family medicine's practiced within UR Medicine, Finger Lakes Health, in Seneca County at Life Care Medical Associates and Seneca Family Health Center, in Wayne County at Clyde Family Health Center, and in Yates County, Dundee Family Health Center and Soldiers and Sailors Health Center, as well as Geneva Primary Care. Dr. Mungari, welcome.
And Dr. Mungari is going to Clifton Springs, too. I should hop that in.
Okay.
So Clifton Springs and Geneva, and I should have said that before.
Well, welcome to you. It's good to have you here.
Now, thank you.
I'm always fascinated in learning people's stories and paths to healthcare, and you said yours was convoluted, so
it's
I can
a little
hardly
convoluted.
Wait.
Yeah. So I decided I wanted to be a doctor when I was six, and, you know, little Jenny Mungari with her pigtails. I was diagnosed with scoliosis, which is curvature of the spine, so had to see some extra doctors aside from just my pediatrician, who was great, but was a busy pediatrician, so you didn't get a lot of time if you were a relatively healthy kid. But my orthopedic doctor was very cool. She was female, which always helps representation. And she talked to me first before she talked to my parents. And she asked me what I wanted to do. And as a very opinionated six-year-old, that was awesome. And so I decided, I'm going to do this job. I can do this. And I'm going to talk to everybody and make them feel important because that makes things less scary. So she was a super huge role model for me. And then I finished my high school and went to college. I went to Union in Schenectady. And from there, I went to Upstate for medical school. I had a fantastic time. But while I was there, I decided that surgery was really cool and I really wanted to be a surgeon. It is so instantly gratifying You know, you locate the problem, you remove the problem. You know, no appendix, no appendicitis. Look at that. Problem solved. And it's very satisfying in that aspect. But as I continued to go along, I figured out that I don't have the right personality for that. I always wanted to know more about my patients. I always wanted to follow them long term, and that's not something you have the luxury to do as a surgeon. So I ended up switching from surgery training to family practice training, and I did my family practice residency in Columbus, Ohio at Grant Medical Center, and that is an unopposed program. So the family practice residents are the internal medicine doctors, they are the pediatricians, they are everything. They work in the outpatient clinic, they work in the hospital. So I got a fantastic education kind of encompassing all of human healthcare.
Wow.
And it's kind of addicting. Once you have that kind of continuity and you can follow patients for years and see how they grow and change over time, you meet their families, you take care of their families, and that's cool. That's my favorite thing about primary care.
Before we dive into family medicine, just one word of warning. Here in Geneva, New York, home of Hobart William Smith, we really hate union.
That's okay. That's okay. Union only really hates RPI. So as long as it's not RPI, it's okay.
We're working on that. So, and by the way, what's up with that Garnet Charger thing?
I don't know. They're the Dutch men and women, and yeah. I will die on that hill.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about family medicine and how important it is in a world that's becoming increasingly specialized. We always hear about this specialist, that specialist. It all starts with that primary care mm-hmm. physician who, like you said, knows the patient, knows the family, and just gets right down in the middle of it.
Yep. So you can, in today's modern healthcare environment, have too many cooks in the kitchen. You know, our computer systems aren't always the best at talking to each other. You don't necessarily have the records from previous specialists. You might not remember a medicine that you were put on. You might not remember a test that you had. So it's primary care's job to seek out all that information, coordinate it all, talk to your specialists if there's questions, make sure that the questions that we wanted answered get answered, and that things get resolved. So we are kind of the driver of your healthcare bus, and we do all that work so you don't have to.
How do you get to know a family from the start when you've been a family doctor with the same family for 20 years? You know the kids, you know the parents, mm-hmm. you know the history. How do you build up that knowledge base when you're starting with a fresh practice?
You listen. Yep, you just listen. People will tell you what's wrong. Everybody's a little nervous in the beginning because, you know, all kinds of personalities become doctors. So you don't necessarily know that your personality is going to jive with your doctor's personality, but most of us are fairly nice people and we try. So yeah, you just talk to people and you listen, and no, I don't know you as well at the first visit as I will at the 50th, but we'll get there.
What are we seeing in patients today that maybe we didn't 10 or 15 or 20 years ago?
Well, like Laura talked about, we certainly are seeing preventative conditions happening sooner. So we are seeing earlier incidences of breast cancers. We're seeing earlier incidences of colon cancer. And primary care is the place you go to get all that stuff checked out. We are playing the long game for you. So even though you feel fine at the moment, kind of the groundwork is being laid for future medical problems that could come up for you. So our job is to fix things when they're tiny, not wait until they let you know that they're there.
I love that description too. I don't think I've ever, in all the interviews we've done,
yeah.
I've been here 26 years doing this every couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
I've never heard it described that way in terms of you playing the long game for
yep.
someone, because I think we have so many people who think like, I feel okay now, or people just don't create, even establish that relationship, right? They don't get the relationship established until they suddenly, the house is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly they're, now that's complex things happening. And now
yep.
it's, you know, and I have aging family members, and right now, like, I'm long distance from my own mother-in-law, and we literally were on her phone yesterday with her primary care doctor up in Plattsburgh trying to sort of coordinate care from a distance, trying to say, and luckily she's been good about it, but not everyone is, and we know that part of this is like, get that relationship and establish it early mm-hmm. and have a partner in your care. And so I love what you're saying, one, about listening in yeah. terms of your philosophy, and secondly, it's so important to talk about that that what you're looking at is this longer term. And we keep talking about creating a community where we have, for example, we'd love to be cancer free of those preventable cancers, for example, or address those things, like really do a great job in all the things that get tracked in that medical record about, are you having those screenings done in a timely way? Are you following up? We're not just really there to nag. We're there to just get you ahead of the game so that you're getting some of these screenings done. And that is, it's just critical. And that ongoing coordination and relationship is so important. And I think primary care is so central. And I think we can't underestimate that critical value of those relationships and that advocacy.
Yeah, we can start just about anything in primary care. And then if we need to escalate things to specialty level care, we absolutely will. But we can at least get started. And that's kind of half the game right there.
How much of these increased incidences of especially preventable things is because of our diet? I mean, a generation ago or a couple of generations ago, we didn't have, you know, a bag of salt that we could grab off the shelf or pure sugar. I mean, we used to eat real food. And interestingly, there's kind of a return back to that, in at least in some circles. So I'm wondering if we'll see that effect as people begin to want more natural food and locally grown food as opposed to over-processed stuff.
I hope so. But that's not the whole picture. Our lifestyles are very different from what they used to be. We got a lot more leeway in our diet back then because we were a lot more physically active. You know, most people, if they worked outside of the home, they went to their job, but then they came home and they took care of their little hobby farm or their garden or things like that. You know, we weren't sitting around all the time. I think being sedentary is problematic. We need to do more moving.
And when we do talk to our specialists, I mean, when we have Heart Month, they'll say, eat better, exercise better, quit smoking. And I say, gee, that pretty much works for everything.
It does. And that doesn't mean that you have to go to the gym 3 hours a day. You know,
right.
All movement counts. Get up and do something. Since the pandemic, people have gotten a lot more isolated as well. You know, more people just kind of hole up in their houses. They don't have the same social connections that they used to. And so not only are we doing less physical activity, but we're having less interaction with our friends and the people that we care about. And that's not good for your mental health either.
We should point out, speaking of the pandemic, this is when this really got launched, is that you do have telemedicine appointments available.
We do.
Through family health, because some people, there are still people, either they're immune compromised or they just went through the pandemic and say, I don't want to take any chances. So there's still people who really limit personal contact.
Yep. And we can use the technology we've got. We can do a video visit. Absolutely.
Yeah, we have telemedicine visits, and we also have online scheduling. So for those people, some people, there's certain folks, even in I would say in my daughter's generation, who are like, they don't even want to call someone. They don't even want to actually call to make the appointment. They just want to do, I'm going to go to the restaurant that allows me, or get the haircut where they allow me to book online versus calling someone.
I know kids like that.
Yeah. So, so truthfully, we do try to make it as, we have all these tools. And I think that is one of the things that was brought to us through the pandemic.
Don't ever feel like you're too sick to go to the doctor. That's exactly the time you should touch base with us. So.
All right. I always like to get free health care here, or at least advice from my guests. So here I am, 64-year-old, balding, somewhat overweight guy. What would you say to me as my provider I should be doing at this point in my life?
Well, have you had your colon cancer screening?
No.
Ted, I'm going to be on you.
I know.
I'm going to be on you. We've got the best group, too.
I know. I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
I feel good, so I haven't had anything done.
Dr. Diaz, Dr. LeGuider, Dr. Anjanette Perez-Colon, we've got such a good group. We've got another person who has a Penyan connection joining us soon in September. And, of course, we've got all kinds of new folks.
So, in other words, don't be a dope is what you're saying.
Well, just because you don't know the problem's there doesn't mean the problem's not there.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Mungari, it's been great to meet you. You're fantastic.
Thank you.
Hope you build up a great base of patients.
I hope so, too.
Terrific care, and I'm sure we'll get to talk again at some point.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Laura, thank you as always. You bring me the greatest people.
Thank you.
And I enjoy having the conversations, even when they occasionally chide me for my own poor health habits.
You're going to get in.
Everything's improvable, Ted.
Before I switch out, this is my goal.
All right. That's a big goal. Thanks for your time, as always.
Bye.
All right. We get healthy every 2 weeks with UR Medicine, Finger Lakes Health. It's 852.